Good morning, it's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News, and it's time to get healthy other than my voice, which is shot, with Laura Turbide from Finger Lakes Health. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
How are you?
Very well, how are you?
Good. Is it okay if I brag on your family for a moment?
Oh, sure. We'd love that.
Your daughter, Sophia, just celebrated a 20th birthday, and I know her through her membership in the Interact and Rotaract clubs, and I just love your family, and I'm glad she's doing well, and she's going into the healthcare field herself, and will make a huge mark in the world.
Well, thank you. You're sweet to say, and we're excited, and we are here today with kind of the kind of person that I think she always looks up to, too. So thanks for saying happy birthday to Sophia. We are thrilled as Finger Lakes Health that we have two incredibly talented dermatologists on our health system staff. And as part of this at Geneva General Hospital Dermatology, people have known about Dr. Lambert and have obviously been taking advantage of our services to the point where we actually had a bit of a wait list for a period of time. So we are thrilled that Dr. Amanda Carpenter has joined Finger Lakes Health. Dr. Carpenter has recently come off of her training at University of Rochester, so not super far away, but hugely important for us because I think people don't realize how fortunate we are to have this kind of access in our community. Dermatologists, the Academy of Dermatology only trains about 400 a year. So truthfully, the fact that we could get someone additional to help make sure that we don't have wait lists, that people can get in and get those annual screenings. We're going to talk a lot about why you should be mindful, why you should be talking to your primary care physician, why you need to maybe think about when you have spots, things you might not be sure of. Get checked. We know too often how critical this can be, and May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, so we're getting out ahead of it, and we're very, very happy that Dr. Carpenter would join us this morning, and thrilled that we're going to have her access to her expertise here.
Well, Dr. Carpenter, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
So why is that? That's not a specialty that would jump to mind as one that would be rare. Why are there so few, and why are we fortunate to have two here in the Finger Lakes?
Well, you know, skin is the largest organ on the body, but you'd be surprised. It's not something that a lot of physicians are exposed to during medical school. It is kind of a very special area. Why that is? Well, there's so many things to cover in the human body. I think that they have to focus on things that are most common. But the dermatology training programs, there's, as mentioned, there's, you know, a few hundred trained every year. And so it's just not an area where there's thousands and thousands of physicians. So it can be a little tricky to get in, but I'm happy to be here. And we're hoping to make it easy for the area to get access to a dermatologist fairly quickly, especially if there's something urgent that needs to be seen.
We're at a time of year that I think can be kind of dangerous because we don't think of it as, you know, it's not summer yet. But I mean, I saw a warning just that somebody posted on the web the other day about the high UV index. So we do have to be careful. Well, even on a day like this, we go out and it's not, you know, it's in the 30s right now and we think, oh, you know, no harm. But if you're out in it all day, there can be.
Absolutely. I mean, especially on days when we say if you can see your shadow, especially if your shadow is shorter than you are, then we know that the UV index is very strong and there's a large potential for it to have a good impact on your skin. But even on days this time of year when it is cloudy, the, you know, UV radiation from the sun does go through the clouds. And so, you know, part of when I see patients, I do a lot of counseling about how important it is to protect your skin. It's a lot of the risk for skin cancers is cumulative. Sometimes it's early sunburns in life, and certainly that sets the stage for later in life developing skin cancers or other skin problems. But even at this point, you know, it's cumulative. So if you just get in the habit of doing things that protect you from the sun on a daily basis, even winter, spring, summer, fall, just make it a habit. It can be very helpful to you in the long run.
So that leads into my next question, and I think you just answered it for me, which if you spend a lot of time out in the sun, the risk of sunburn decreases because you kind of get a tolerance, but that's not the case for skin cancer then.
Right. So honestly, you know, people often think if they get a tan that they are, well, now I don't have to worry. I don't have a burn. I'm not going to get a risk. But really what a tan is your body essentially saying that there's been sunlight damage to the DNA and it's trying desperately to protect itself. Now, some people have a much easier time having a tan. And so people that have more medium or darker skin tones. They do have a little added protection because their body naturally makes melanin, which is the thing that gives us a tan and protects us. But still, the fact that you're getting a tan at all means that some of that UV radiation is getting into your skin. And so you don't really want a tan at all.
And some people, I think, don't realize how much you get unintentionally. So we were talking a bit ago about commuting to work and different things. And people might not realize that some people, even, for example, on that left-hand side of their face mm-hmm. and ears, where perhaps someone who's been a driver for many years or commuting, or we certainly hear about people who obviously just even occupationally.
My father was a driver ed teacher, so he sat in the right hand seat, so his right arm was always way darker than the left.
And so I think while we all think back to the uneducated days when people had their album covers with aluminum foil and things, people are smarter than that now. I know that we're all much smarter than that, but there still are these, I think, unintentional ways in which, if we're not being conscious of it every day and really making different choices about our exposure, and obviously I'm sure you can suggest some of the habits that we should all be into in terms of there's so many lotions now and other things that allow you to sort of on a daily basis wear sunscreen.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I wanted to go into, because whenever we start talking about health, we have to separate fact from marketing. We have now, you know, sunscreen went from 30 SPF to 50 to 70 to 1,012,000. And so how do we pick a good sunscreen and not fall victim to the marketing hype?
Well, you know, that's true. I mean, not all. The cost doesn't always equate to how good it is. Really, we say there's a couple things you want to look for. So you want a broad spectrum sunscreen. So that means it covers UVA and UVB. You actually have to pay attention to expiration dates, because there's a lot of things in sunscreen that they're shelf stable for a certain period of time and then they no longer effective. And I can't tell you how many people say, I put a ton of sunscreen on, but it was a bottle that they'd had in their camp for 3 years and then they get a burn through it. Other things to consider is how you use it. It's really important. A sunscreen gets its, you know, how its SPF factor based on using quite a bit of it and in the right way. And what does that mean? Well, about 15 to 30 minutes before you're out in the sun is when you really should be putting the sunscreen on. You have to give it time to get into your skin, evenly disperse, and in order to protect you. The other thing is you need to use enough of it. So we often tell people that you need 1 to 2 ounces, or, you know, which is probably basically like 3 tablespoons of sunscreen if you want to use, you know, think of something. Okay. If you've got shorts and a t-shirt on. So you have to use quite a bit of it. If you use a tiny little squirt of it on your whole body, it's not going to really be a SPF of 30. It might be an SPF of 5, which is basically like nothing. So doesn't matter what brand you get. Just make sure it's not expired, that it's broad spectrum. Usually we say at least SPF 30, because SPF 30 is going to give you a decent amount of protection. And then the last point I'd like to make is just you have to reapply it. Can be frustrating to, like, you know, feel like you're always putting on sunscreen, but every 2 hours or sooner, if you get really wet or sweaty, you should be putting it on. And if you're not a fan of lathering creams on, which a lot of my patients aren't, there are a lot of nice things that in the last decade they've come out with a lot of clothing that has UPF factor in it, and it's lightweight, summer appropriate. You can get it at lots of sporting goods stores, Cabela's, Gander Mountain, Land's End, or a lot of brands, you know, available online of even fashionable clothing, though, that protect you from the sun. So things like that to consider as well.
And I know also with sunscreen, you got to make sure you get it everywhere, like the you know, top of the mm-hmm. ears. Sometimes you miss that right behind the knee. I mean, that always burns on me. So you got to make sure you get it everywhere.
Absolutely. And so, like, that's part of why some of the clothing, you know, a nice hat, sunglasses, things like that are helpful, because it is difficult to get every crack and crevice and then reapply it everywhere all the time. But it's true. If it's not being covered by sunscreen, then it's at risk of a burn. And the burns do increase your risk of skin cancer.
Let's talk a little bit about skin cancer diagnosis and treatment. What are some things that we should be looking for as possible signs that we need to get checked out?
So those are really good questions. And so there's different types of skin cancer. The most common one, millions, over 2 million are diagnosed every year, are basal cells. And while those are typically not thought of as being really high risk of being fatal, they can be very disfiguring and they're important to treat. Basal cells and another skin cancer, a little less common and a little more serious, squamous cells, they are lesions that show up. They might start off looking like a pimple at first, or really scaly little area of rash, but it just doesn't heal. You put lotions on it, creams, you know, Vaseline, a Band-Aid, and it just doesn't heal. It might scab, and it kind of starts to grow, and it can be fairly quickly, over a few months, it's just this spot that doesn't heal. So anytime you have a skin lesion that shows up on your body that doesn't heal, bring it to the attention of a physician, and if you know, are able to get in with a dermatologist, certainly that would be preferable. The other type of skin cancer that is the third most common is the most serious, and that's the very scary kind, which is melanoma. melanoma is typically, it shows up as a new mole. So it's not common for grown adults to get new moles. So anytime someone has a new brown lesion that shows up, it's probably a good idea to have a doctor take a peek at it. And if you need to be referred to a dermatologist, have that done. We use what we say is the ABCDE criteria. So anytime you have a brown lesion that is very asymmetric, which is A, B is the border changes. It's smudged into the surroundings. It's not easy to see where the mole starts and ends. C is color, multiple colors. So if you have a dark black, brown, white, pink spot all in one lesion, that would be something to be concerned about. Diameter bigger than a pencil eraser for D, and E is evolving. So just if you have a mole that was there for a long time and it's suddenly changing, you should have a physician look at it, because that melanoma, again, is the skin cancer that we're very concerned about, because it has the potential to be make you very, very sick.
And this is why access, obviously, to both Dr. Carpenter and Dr. Lambert has been so fantastic for our community. So not only if you have those kinds of things that you're noticing for yourself, you should bring them up when you go to your physical. You should perhaps even make an appointment with your primary care physician sooner than you had planned and have them take a look, or make an appointment with dermatology directly. We have also the opportunity to get people in if there are concerns, or if there's a concern of skin cancer, versus waiting for just people's annual time. Well, I'm not due till May and I'm going to wait, right. and it's November. We have the appointment availability where a physician, for example, could call and get people in to have something checked in terms of quick access even more quickly, because we do know time is of the essence. It's very, very important. Just like anything else, the earlier we're able to have them do I've had very, very painless biopsies. You literally wouldn't believe how efficient these fantastic professionals are. You go in, they're so efficient, you end up sort of having very small amounts of skin biopsied and tissues sent off, and you get your results and you have peace of mind. And I just can't say enough about how fantastic the staff is at getting you in, the team at being efficient when you're there, and then obviously giving you that peace of mind and reassurance. And then you can be on more of a regular schedule for just regular self-checks and regular annual checks that you go in for at recommended intervals.
I want to ask you about one more thing. We have a couple of minutes left in young people, and that's acne. Again, a huge industry has grown up around that. Are there effective ways, first, of prevention, and then, if not, of treatment to get rid of it?
It's very difficult to prevent acne. A lot of it has to do with genetics and hormones. You know, if your family history of a lot of acne, it's not, you wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you also have a lot of acne. There, I mean, certainly, good hygiene. And what I mean by that is, you know, washing your face once or twice a day. Especially if it's a female that wears a lot of makeups, making sure they're washing it off the skin.
Just plain soap, or any of these fancy products good? Or
there, a lot of the over-the-counter acne products can be beneficial for mild acne, or they can be used in combination with prescriptions for more moderate to severe acne. So I don't think that they're bad, but sometimes people do certainly need, despite their best efforts using over-the-counter products, they do need prescription medications, and we certainly have many options for helping with that to treat acne.
One other note I'd like to share is that we're going to have a Dine and Discuss coming up. So people know who've come to Dine and Discuss before. So if you've heard a little bit from Dr. Carpenter, but you know you need more, you need a little more information, you have questions, sometimes you want to see some slides and see some information about the kinds of things to look for, our Dine and Discuss series is just beginning. And so actually we have one of our very first out of the gate sessions, so people can go on the website and register for that Dine and Discuss. We're thrilled to be able to get out in the community and share this kind of information, because it's not only critical from a prevention perspective, but then once other people are educated, they can start beginning that being that advocate in their family. My husband's the slathering advocate. My daughter and I are a little more squirrely about it, but he's the one who always makes sure he brings it out to the doc, make sure nobody goes those 2 hours without reapplying. So become the champion in your family. Come to Dine and Discuss, learn about it, and then you too can have
it. I learned my lesson in a trip to Florida a few years ago where I burned severely. Also, by the way, we have the next chat and snack on Thursday, April 27th, occupational therapist Kelly Christensen at the Y. So, Laura, thank you as always. Dr. Carpenter, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
If you have any voice therapy people that you want to bring by in 2 weeks, I can be a test patient. It's 8:52 now on the Finger Lakes Morning News.